So good afternoon, everybody. Good morning to the audience from the U.S. This is Christian Teig speaking to go through the conference call on the preliminary and unaudited fourth quarter results for 2011 for CompuGroup Medical. There is a presentation that we will follow, downloadable from the website. And for those of you who can, it's also possible then to follow this through a WebEx conference. The presentation will probably take 10 minutes, maybe 15, and then we will finish with a Q&A session towards the end. We can flip to page number 2. Just a reminder that the results that we are presenting are the preliminary and unaudited results, and that the audited and complete financials will be published 29th of March this year. Further on to slide number 3. On slide 3, we see the key figures on the fourth quarter 2011. We had a good quarter, somewhat better than what we expected. We had around 115 million euros of revenue and an operating margin of 22% for the quarter. Certainly, this was, again, slightly better than what we expected and a good finish to the year. If we go to the next slide, slide number 4, here we see some special fourth quarter effects. As we announced in November, there were going to be some towards the end of the year. And in total, these points summarize to about 2.5 million. That means that the fourth quarter and year ended up with about 4 million more of revenue and about 2 million more of EBITDA compared to what we forecasted in November. To go into the details, we can go to the next slide, slide number 5, where we see the sequential revenue development, subsegment by subsegment, and the 26% growth, of course, predominantly driven by acquisitions. In terms of subsegments, it was a particularly strong finish in the RIS space and in communication and data that lifted us to a good finish to 2011. Even some comments and more details on the next slide, slide 6. Within HPS, as mentioned, a solid finish to the year in IS, 9% organic growth. It's normal that we have a strong fourth quarter, which is a seasonal effect. But on top of this, I would say that it was a specifically or special strong delivery on opportunities that we had in the fourth quarter. We mentioned countries like Germany and Sweden that drove us to a strong finish. In HIS, this is what we announced already in November, and we've had that all through 2011. I think all in all, we're quite happy with how it finished after all. And you say the revenue contraction that we've had is mostly related to lower margin business. The Lau Fischer acquisition develops according to plan. In HCS, I guess it's also some nuances to consider. Again, communication and data, strong 8% organic growth, ended up, I think, for the year very satisfactory. First year in many years that we've grown this subsegment. Same comments to the ISP business, which is steadily growing. And workflow and decision support, I guess no surprise in the fourth quarter, followed the same slow pattern as we saw all the way through 2011. Turning to page 7, the U.S. is an area of special interest. We know this. We continue to believe that we have turned this business around, and there are clear signs of improvement. We can see this particularly in the last 3 months in terms of order bookings on this graph. However, the 50-10 issue continues to hold back the business in the short term, and as we will discuss in the outlook, that's also going to be the case in the beginning of 2012. But certainly a very much more positive picture in the second half of the year compared to the first half. Moving into slide number 8, some post-balance sheet events of significance. The first is the acquisition of Microbice in Holland, certainly something that we have wanted to do for a long time, something that fits very well with the business that we already have there. And together, these businesses now in Holland brings us up to a market-leading position, at least on par with the other leading companies there, and brings Holland up to a very high standard and potential market for us going forward. So we're very happy with this transaction. Next slide, slide 9, a similar story of Italy. It's another region where we have aspired to strengthen our position, I think particularly in the north, as we from the past have been strong in the south. Now altogether, we hold a market-leading position of about 40% in Italy, and we believe with good prospects to grow further organically in developing the established base of about 20,000 GPs and doctors in Italy further in the period ahead. So those were the main points of the fourth quarter, again with some transactions that came in the beginning of the new year. We now turn the sights forward. We can flip already to slide 11, which is a background slide to position how we think about the coming year, 2012. Surely if we look at 2010 and 11 in this quarterly overview, as we see here on the slide 11, it's split in two halves for 2011. We had special circumstances with the consolidation and integration of acquired companies that dominated the first half, and then a really good rebound with clearly improved margins in the second half, which the way we see it is a better picture of where we stand going into the new year of 2012. Another important indication of where we stand going into a new year is where we are on recurring revenue. This is slide 12. As we see here on this slide, from 2008 until the beginning of 2012, it grows at a steady pace and has now reached a level of about 290 million euros at the beginning of this year, which is up from 227 million euros 1 year ago. So certainly a strong and good recurring basis going into the new year. On slide 13, again, we offer some additional color on the U.S. market. The topic of 50-10, which has been important, not just for us, but for all of healthcare in the U.S., will continue to influence us at the start of this year. On this slide, we say that we're done after the first quarter. Certainly, we aspire to this. Should be noted that only in the last day there has been, rumors and talk about extending the deadline even further into the middle of 2012, as this is an industry topic, not just a CGM topic. We will see how that goes, but certainly there will be some startup period in the U.S. still to be influenced by this 50-10 transition. We know that there is a lot of focus and attention on meaningful use and incentive payments. I guess the point that we want to make on the market feedback is that, yes, there will be a great increase in EHR adoption in the U.S. in the coming years. There's no doubt about that. That's going to be driven more so by doctors wanting this rather than going specifically only for the meaningful use and incentive payments. So I think meaningful use and incentive payments is one of the factors driving the market, but certainly there are other factors as well. And I think we see this market more and more as being very similar to Europe, where it's essentially based on rational consumer behavior, where good products backed by excellent service is what's going to drive demand and success also in this market. And we believe we have what it takes to succeed on what we are able to offer in these days. How will the U.S. be in 2012 relative to Europe? For the time being, also considering the 50-10 issue, we see in terms of growth this to be a growing market on par with Europe, maybe with a profile that could kick some more in towards the end, but year on year, probably as we stand today, again, similar to Europe and no extraordinary effect, at least the way we see it for the time being. Which begins to draw us into the outlook for 2012, that's slide 14. We have done transactions, which means that maybe an interesting number pro forma on revenue is if we take all group companies today and pro forma add the revenue for those periods in 2011 when they were not consolidated, we had 2011 revenue of 433 million euros. If we factor in some of the special costs that we had in 2011, and also apply the current cost basis in the U.S. and after the integration of Laue Fischer, you could also make a pro forma calculation where we had operating margins of about 21% in 2011. How we see this evolving this year, we believe that we can grow 2 to 6% organically. Certainly, if we see this a little bit to where what we've achieved in the past years, we did 8% in 2009, we did 4% 2010, we did 2% last year, so we behave a little bit like a radioactive isotope, but I think it's time to break that, and we believe strongly that we will turn organic growth up. And certainly we see the outlook right now of this to be in the range of 2 to 6%. And as there has been a particular focus on profitability, and given the scalability of our business, we do see margins to improve then 1 to 2 percentage points relative to the pro forma financials that we achieved in 2011. So this leads us then into the conclusion on guidance 2012. It should be 2012 on this slide, slide 15. We see revenue to be in the range of 440 million to 460 million and EBITDA of 95 million to 105 million. And this is the picture that we see based on the current outlook and market conditions for the businesses that we run. And again, this includes all the businesses that we currently have. It includes Microbice and also the FPF acquisition or FPF acquisition in Italy, but no other further acquisitions are, of course, included in this outlook. So how we will fare relative to this guidance will be checked at these points that we give on slide 16. We will, actually, the first real one will be May 4th with the first quarter 2012, quickly followed by the AGM in Koblenz. Then we go into the second quarter early August, and third quarter, as always, during the Medica trade fair in Düsseldorf in November. This concludes the presentation as it was planned. We are now open for questions. If you would like to raise questions, you could please press star 1 on your telephone and you will be queued in as you are entered into the queue. Thank you.
Hello, it's Andreas Wolf speaking, Warburg Research. Christian, could you maybe give us some hints on the special opportunities you had in Q4 that gave an additional boost to revenues in Sweden, I think it was, and Germany? I missed the first part of the call, so I hope you didn't answer this. And the second question would be regarding the U.S. business. Obviously, since October, revenues have accelerated, and maybe you could give some insight into the sources of growth. Was it the typical software solution the doctor uses, or is it the EHR adoption that has accelerated? Thank you.
So special opportunities. In Sweden, we have a very strong order backlog of rollout projects in many regions. And I think it was we had a good role on these rollouts that in a sense enabled us to move slightly quicker towards the end of the year in rolling this out. So this was one part. In Germany, we had some special opportunities in the dental space where there were some changes to the reimbursement system in Germany. That gave us some opportunities to convert this into additional licenses and services in the fourth quarter. In the U.S., we still see that we sell more and more because of our improved performance and ability in our own organization across, say, all our areas, which include PM EHR systems, reimbursement solutions, and even lab systems. Along the way, we continue to sell EHR. Again, it is an area of interest with the doctors. But that pattern, I guess the product mix hasn't changed, and it isn't, say, exclusively EHR, which is driving the additional bookings that we've seen. And also given the 50-10, which is not an EHR topic, it is an PM and reimbursement cycle topic, has actually driven perhaps that part even more so than right now the EHR part.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, Gunnar Kurs, Bloomberg Bank.
Sorry, Gunnar Kurs, Bloomberg Bank. Good afternoon, Christian.
Hi, Gunnar.
Also, again on the U.S., if I may, how many sales you now generated basically in total in 2011 in euro terms, or in U.S. dollar, whatever you like.
I guess have to do a quick summary. I think if you summarize the staples on the slides, it is about $18 million, which then means these are the bookings that come on top of our recurring revenue. So I guess that is the answer, and there has been, you know, the euro dollar exchange rate really fluctuates quite a lot. So in the beginning of the year, euro was strong. Towards the end of the year, euro was weak. So I guess some kind of weighted average is about 140. So I guess about 12 million euros in total for the year.
12 million plus 30 million recurring, roughly.
Yeah.
So we ended up at 40 or a bit more than 40 million.
Yes, correct.
And when you say you expect in organic growth rate in the U.S., like also for your other business in AIS, which will be above average, so that means more than 6%.
Yes. Well, I guess 4 if you take a mid-range. But
Also you okay, more than the average growth. Okay,
more than
4%. Okay. And in terms of EHR systems you have sold so far, have you got a number for 2011? How many doctors have adopted yet, despite what we've all discussed, difficulties, etc., with all
so
the
So I guess one number, if you take all the doctors that we have that today are on a meaningful use EHR,
mm-hmm.
it is about 20% of all our customers.
Yeah.
This is
mm-hmm.
This is where we are today.
Mm-hmm. But I thought this was basically more or less already originally kind of when you acquired the business, or has that increased?
It has grown, but
yeah.
but not by a step up or a large number again.
But still the idea is basically, so you have kind of, 20% have already kind of a system in place, but you expect at the end around 80% of your doctors kind of to convince to adopt an EHR system.
In our world, every single one should have it.
Yeah.
Say meaningful use or not. EHR, every single doctor should have.
Yeah. What I don't so much understand, what you also outlined in your presentation, is that it's not really kind of an incentive for the doctor. I understand last year was now about restructuring the business, optimizing US operation, and then obviously also now the 5010 compliance issue here for the beginning of 2012. But now when your sales now go out, basically let's say then from Q2 this year on, they basically go with a suitcase of money and try to convince the doctors to adopt to EHR. This is a relatively easy sales job, isn't it?
So the state of this today, if you take a normal patient encounter for you as doctor, say, and the doctor follows, say, all the steps required for meaningful use, it is a fact that those encounters will take longer as it works today than say before. And the feedback from the doctors is clear, if this continues, they're not going to sacrifice their practices for the stimulus money. So it's only, say, interesting for them if there is no compromise to how they want to run their practice. And I think it's become very clear for us that their interest is in EHR.
Yeah.
And they don't mind to get the stimulus, but only going for the stimulus as fast, easy money is not how the market thinks.
Okay, but this is also then partly your job, right? To make sure that this is kind of, the shift to an EHR is kind of impacting to as little as possible the overall management of the practice, whatsoever, treatment of patients and all that.
Certainly it's our job, but depending now, we are still on stage one, meaningful use.
Yeah.
There is a limit to how much you can say magically make additional steps disappear. So I think it is also, we are at an interesting period when say the first experiences of complying with meaningful use are coming back. And again, we're not saying this to take away some of, say, the excitement and opportunity of meaningful use. I guess what we are saying is that there are other more fundamental factors also driving the market, like the genuine wish for U.S. doctors to bring their practice forward and to get efficient and sound EHR systems into their practice. And this is how they think. This is their agenda point number one. Meaningful use and incentive payments are nice, but they are more, say, a sweetener on top of the overall objective. So we don't see this as a conflict or anything. It's very important to say that. The meaningful use and incentive payments, and especially right now, is, of course, exceedingly important for the government and the CMS office to show that there is progress. It doesn't necessarily mean that there is a complete buy-in from the whole physician community. And again, they're not going to sacrifice the way they do healthcare and only jump for the easy, meaningful use money. So there may be some, say, different development. We can easily see EHR adoption accelerating faster than meaningful use, for example.
And this 20% you mentioned EHR adoption among your doctors, is this also in line with the market?
More or less.
Would say so? More or less.
Probably, and actually, if you take the overall market, which includes the large practices, it is lower.
It's lower, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I mean, in terms of this incentives payments, there's a hard deadline now in October. Do you think that will kind of then maybe also shift this deadline? You know, if they do it after October, they will start losing money, right?
That yeah. I would not be surprised, particularly given the issue with 5010. There was a letter 2 days ago sent from the largest physicians association in the U.S. to the Secretary of Health, which really outlined a very dramatic situation now related to 5010. So this is a big disruption. And I think this is a personal opinion, no signs, no evidence of this, but it wouldn't be unlikely that you just need more time to get everything lined up.
Mm, okay, that could also mean obviously then your revenues could come from this, obviously from AHR could come in later than maybe expected. But that remains to be seen. One final question, if I may, in terms of your guidance for this year, in terms of top line, fine, no problem with me. In terms of EBITDA, you mentioned, if I calculated correctly, the pro forma EBITDA for this year basically would be stripping out one-offs, et cetera, from last year, would be 21% EBITDA margin.
Yes.
And this 21% I would then obviously base on the 434 million in terms of pro forma sales.
Yeah, 433.
So we are talking about 91 million in terms of pro forma EBITDA.
Yeah.
And so I'm still struggling a bit to come from what you have reported, the 73 million now to 91 million, but because for me, kind of, the one-offs are 5 million for Lauer Fischer in terms of cost, then obviously you have full-year effects, which are here included in terms of the acquisitions, so Lauer Fischer then for the full year, so it would be another roughly 5 million, I think, plus maybe in together 2 million for the two small acquisitions in the Netherlands and Italy, so plus 7 million.
And then you have on top, say, the new cost base in the U.S., which on an annual basis is about 5, and also,
okay,
say, the 4 million that we announced on Lauer Fischer, where 3 will be fully effective this year.
Okay, all right. And then from this 91 to your guidance is basically then organic growth.
Yes.
All right, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Yeah, hey, Christian, it's Uwe from Deutsche. Three questions, please. Hey, firstly, on the margin guidance again, you had 23-22% in the second half of last year. It's now the guidance for this year as well. Is that, the kind of new normal that you would see? In other words, what would need to happen for you to dramatically break out of this range? And the reason, obviously, I pose this question is that I do have Frank's words in mind, who last November called for a potential of up to 30%, which is, I believe, a region we were in the past. Second question, could you please split out a bit more the organic growth rate target of 2 to 6%? More in terms of, not on a divisional level, but more in terms of potentially upselling or maybe even price increases, if you have any. And then thirdly, if I may, on the workflow and decision support, it obviously was another relatively quiet quarter in the December quarter. Are you downplaying in any way expectations so as to be able to put potentially surprise positively here. Reason I asked this question, I did have the impression at Medica that indeed things might finally be moving after, again, obviously quite a few years of disappointment on that front. Thank you.
So there is no secret that that at some point we see our business to have the potential to reach this golden target of 30% margins. We approach this in a gradual fashion, where we strive for this with a strong, say, operational leverage from the current starting point. Actually, if you apply if you extrapolate from the discussion I just had with Gunnar, what we say is we can get 50% incremental margin on the growth from here on. And I think this is how we would see us reaching the 30%. We don't have any magic bullet or particular cost area where we could make a big delta in only 1 year. So if we can improve it, then even stripping out all these special effects, 1 to 2 percentage points in 1 year, that would be a good step in the right direction. Then a second question, organic growth rate. We, as always, do our say inflationary adjustments on pricing. This is in most areas, probably with some limitations in the HIS space, 2 to 3% on average per year on the recurring part. And then certainly on the IS space, it is predominantly upselling and business that we do with our existing customers, as it is a very small growth component that comes from adding original new users, given the stability of the business. Third question, workflow and decision support. I guess the direct answer to your questions about downplaying, the answer is no. We don't downplay or upplay. I think we have had our fair shares of strong prospects that at the finishing line tend to be hard to convert. We will continue to try. We have a stable, okay business as it is. And I think things don't change overnight in this area anyways. So as the quarters go by and if there are any changes, we will let both numbers and, say, hard deals speak for themselves and make sure that there is transparency as to how this develops. Right now, yeah, it is at a stable level where we believe that it can be, maybe grow somewhat in 2012, and then we take it from there.
It just seems, just on that last point, that obviously the pressure on the Krankenkassen is as strong as it ever was, and we have seen already a fair amount of consolidation, so I was just wondering whether at least the number of projects / people you are talking to at various instances must have, at least in theory, should have improved quite a bit.
Yeah, and the answer to that is yes, but this we are getting used to. At least that's what the CFO tells his colleagues. And I think there's no change in our belief that this really should have a completely different level of adoption. But it is a tricky part of our business for us to forcefully convert, say, those situations into hard revenue and business. We've seen this in the past, and I think that part hasn't changed.
I would have two final housekeeping questions, please, if I may. Firstly, on DNA, any guidance as to the new number here? Sorry if you have ever already given that, because I was a bit late on the call. And then secondly, also tax rate would be helpful. Thanks.
DNA, no change. So I think for the time being, certainly, first of all, it's important to take this accounting change in Lower Fisher, because we had built in something like $3.5 million of depreciation per year related to the hardware rental contracts. This will now be just operating expense, which I think is a cleaner and more consistent way of treating this. So this is built into our guidance. So say in existing models, depreciation should just be reduced by about $3 million per year. In terms of amortizations, we are in the process of finalizing PPAs. Right now, probably this will be somewhat higher than what we have discussed before. I think once it is, just meaning that these assets will have a slightly faster amortization schedule when everything has been completed. Not big numbers, so I think in summary, just take what is in existing models and strip out $3 million of depreciation from Lower Fisher, and then there's a good model going forward. Tax rate, again, the tax rate in the books is a very, say, theoretical tax rate. I would use something like 35% and always look into the cash flow on the cash taxes that we pay.
Very helpful. Thank you.
Hi, Christian. This is Henrik Lofoten from HSBC.
Hey, Henrik.
Good afternoon, everyone. Just two final questions, if I may, because a bunch of questions have already been answered. First of all, could you shed a bit light on the margin development in the U.S., where you're currently standing? And secondly, regarding your M&A pipeline, should we expect anything for 2012, and if so, in which areas?
So we end the year in the U.S. with around 10% operating margin, and that's also where we start. So they are still, say, below the group average, but certainly as we get past this 50-10 period, you know, this is going to be one of the helpful areas of margins moving up towards, say, a group average. But again, we've been profitable all through the second half after the restructuring there. And again, very happy with the structure and cost base that we have there now, and we seek to grow the business from its current form and state. M&A pipeline, nothing for us really to comment. I think we did speak last year that even in this self-imposed moratorium period, we would certainly give priorities to IS deals in Europe, and we even mentioned Holland and Italy. Of course, these discussions were ongoing that were completed now. I think we still have a lot of focus on operations, profitability, and organic growth. You know, we've come a long way in Europe. I think any completion of a well-established and solid IS customer base at a fair price would always be interesting for us. There are always some of those discussions going on, but not a great number. I mean, we've come a long way to reach the position we have in Europe. And when it comes to the U.S., certainly we are now exclusively focusing on our existing business to make sure that we get through also this period and get it up to, say, group standards before we think about further inorganic expansion. So in summary, a lot of focus, not dissimilar from the last 6 months, a lot of focus on existing business.
All right. That's helpful. Thanks.
Question, queue is empty now.
Okay. This seems to be the last question.
There's one arriving right now.
Then next caller.
Hi Christian, sorry, it's Gunnar again. Just also very briefly, but that I have only line. You mentioned two acquisitions now you reported in Netherlands and also in Italy. Italy, if I take this sales and divide it by the numbers of doctors, it's just €150 per doctor. Is this right, and is this comparable with your remaining business in Italy? That means you have quite a lot of potential in terms of upselling.
This is right, and it is less than half of the revenue that we have from our existing customers. Important to note that this customer base traditionally has been a sponsored model from pharma companies. This also explains, say, the very low revenue per customer, but certainly this is one of the areas of interest, is to say harmonize through upselling and services and bringing this customer base in line with the rest of our Italian business. So this is a very interesting area for us to work on.
But the average in Italy is higher, the yes. amount per doctor you generate. Okay.
More than twice the number of EFIPESA.
And I would like also to come very briefly back to your U.S. business. I mean, you acquired 18,000 doctors over the last years, and I think on average you paid around $5,000 per doctor.
Yep.
Plus probably maybe some additional costs in terms of restructuring or whatever you did in the last year.
It's more or less the full amount.
Okay, it's a full amount. Do you feel like still given the situation in the U.S. that the net present value, the worth basically of a doctor in the U.S. could be still some $15,000-$20,000 given the stimulus program, that then the shift towards EHR and selling more software products for the doctors? Or do you think this is kind of coming down in terms of value per doctor, net present value per doctor?
Nope, that value is still there.
So still a huge potential for you in terms of what you have paid for the business and what could be it worth in a few years' time.
That's how we see it.
All right, excellent. Thank you very much.
Okay, then we have reached the conclusion of this conference call. Thank you all for joining, and if not before, we will hear from each other on May the 4th. Thank you, and bye.
Your conference has ended. Goodbye.